Huh.
Ah, I had something funny to say.
He's burned out already. I just barely hit record.
Wait, hold on. I feel like that's the story of my life, which is me consistently going, I had really something really funny to say.
Well, to be fair, I thought about it like 3:30 this morning. I was like, oh, I'm going to start out with that, and it's going to be awesome. I should have wrote it down.
Write shit down at 3:30 in the morning.
Hey, you know what? I'm up and doing shit at 3:30 in the morning.
Why?
You know what?
Like, if you said you were still up doing shit at 3:30 in the morning.
No, I get up at 3:30. I go to the gym.
Hold on.
I sit on the bench press thing for like an hour.
I take a nap.
Yeah, yeah. The bench press bench is fairly comfortable.
Well, they're padded.
Mm-hmm.
That's the one you drop the bar on your face.
Yeah, I just sprawl out on it like this and go to sleep.
Is it a 24-hour gym?
Yeah, no. I just break the door down.
Well, hey, if you're strong enough, what are they going to do, stop you?
Yeah. I throw weights into the gym, in through the window. It's weird.
Well, unfortunately, we're out of time for tonight.
Matt Damon, everyone.
Join us next week when our guests are...
Everybody.
Everybody.
Maybe formerly Tim of the...
Wait, what happened to Tim?
Hold on. I put formerly in the wrong part of the sentence.
Oh, shit.
I don't know.
Oh,
shit. I already got a new house. No, it's fine. I heard he got a new house or something. It's okay.
What happened to Tim?
It's all right.
Listen, I didn't want to be the one to tell you guys.
Now we know why Tim doesn't show up anymore. And now I'm embarrassed of the last text I ever sent him. It went something like this. Pack that shit, Tim. Pack it good and hard.
And now he's dead.
All because of that text.
I'm not going to provide a context. Hey, guys, it's the Mutineer Disaster Hour.
Which is different from other shit. Why are you echoey, Jake?
I don't know. I don't know what to do.
Do you have a megaphone?
Jordan, am I echoey to you?
No, not to me.
All right. Well, then we know where the problem lies.
Huh.
Well, how come you're not using your fancy headphones, Josh?
Because they're not. I couldn't hear you on there. Let me try again. Put them on. I'll just wear my.
All right. While Josh gets situated, this is a little bit different of a disaster hour this week. This time. If this was a weekly show, I guess it would. You know what? I'm lost already. Guys, Jordan Duncan.
Where?
Oh, hey.
One person clapping. Thank you, guys, everybody.
Hold on. Let me get my clapper out.
Well, now you're really echoey. See?
Okay, here we go.
Oh, I thank you guys so much. I was not expecting that.
And neither was I. Who let the studio audience in again?
Sorry, wrong one.
Well, I guess I have to leave now. Isn't that the rule?
No, yeah. Jake was talking. He has to leave.
Oh. Well, coming up next, Gene, the dancing machine.
Oh, man. God, Gene kills it every time, too.
Okay, is everyone going to get the Gong Show reference?
Yeah, that's why I was.
I thought we were all making Gong Show references.
Okay, good. Yeah, I'm just.
Yeah. Way to explain the joke, Jake.
Well, you know, it's the disaster hour. I like to start things off really low and try to, try to.
Like to start things off on the,
See, if I screw up, it makes the guest look better.
Wait, guest?
Yeah, Jordan.
No, he signed a contract. He's a permanent part of the show now.
Wait, yeah, what? What?
Today he's an actual guest. Just go with him, Jordan.
Wait.
Don't worry about
signing that contract.
It was in blood. It's
there were drugs and blood.
No, that contract was for a sandwich.
And a podcast.
No, they already put the sandwich stuff away. Sorry.
Gotta read those fine prints on the blood contracts.
I guess I'm on your podcast now.
Yes.
Oh, wait, hold on. I left something in my car.
The weird thing is, he signed in Matt's blood, and that's why Matt's not here. He broke Matt's contract.
And it was one of those feather pins.
No, I went down to the crossroads. I summoned a demon.
And you ended up on Mickey Mutineers? That sucks.
You summoned a demon.
No, I summoned a Matt Damon, is what it was.
Wait, that's kind of cool. Why can't we get him?
That's way better than Mickey Mutineers.
Oddly enough, given tonight's topic, which is weird for a disaster hour, I don't know if Jordan's telling the truth or not. Because, guys, Jordan is a parallelogram?
Yes. Trapezoid.
Fantastic, guys.
Freakazoid. Dun, 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 dun.
Freakazoid. Freakazoid.
Yes.
Wow. You know what?
What?
We should make a podcast where we just watch things and comment on them.
Hey, wait a minute. So it's like it would be like a bunch of men commentating or doing commentary.
Right. And we'll call it Riff Tracks.
Okay, that wasn't my idea, but we'll go with that.
All right. But no, Jordan's a paranormal investigator, right, Jordan?
I am.
And I have questions. I've come up with questions to ask you.
Okay.
First off,
are you afraid of ghosts?
No, ish. So I've been doing this since 2008. I always get asked. Yeah. Hey, math.
Simple math. That's weird.
Okay, first of all, you want to just knock out the usual questions that you get asked? I bet you have just like a list of them in your head.
Yeah, so I always get asked, how did you get into this? I've always been – I'm originally from South Louisiana, which we've said on the non-Disaster Hour episodes. Remember West Bank, call back to like 5 episodes ago.
It was a good episode.
That was a good episode. So I grew up in South Louisiana, and I've always enjoyed ghost stories, fictitious ghost stories, as well as like urban legend type ghost stories. And as I got older, I started learning more and more about the urban legend and the quote unquote real hauntings. And as I got older, I didn't realize that being a paranormal investigator was something you can do. Like Ghostbusters was always one of my favorite films, and that's kind of like how I associate it. It was like, oh, Ghostbusters, it's not real because it's a movie. But there are actually people who study these things from a scientific perspective, and that's what really interested me in exploring the world of the paranormal. Because when you say the word paranormal, it's really like kind of this umbrella term. It's not necessarily just ghosts. It's also, cryptozoology.
I love cryptozoology.
For like Bigfoots and Yeti. UFOlogy. I'm not too 100% sure how to say that word.
I'm saying ufology.
Yeah, that's it. Oh, thanks for setting me straight, Jake.
It's German.
Okay. It's got the umlaut on top
of you. Yeah, ufology.
But paranormal is just kind of this blanket term that goes over everything that is just, I guess, you know, outside of the normal. But my personal favorite part of the paranormal is the ghosts and the hauntings. So I've loved ghost stories, and as I grew up, I was just more interested in the folklore and mythology of potential real hauntings. So that's kind of how I got into it.
Good answer. You are correct.
But
what?
Show me cryptozoology.
Yeah, right. The correct word response would be like, sorry, you're wrong. You didn't phrase that in form of a question.
No, we actually had your fiance fill out the cards with the correct answers on it. Congratulations, this is the newlywed game.
What?
So that reminds me, I need to go to the Stanley Hotel.
Yes, you do, for two reasons. One, because it's incredibly popular. And two, I have a friend who is a magician, who's a master magician, who puts on a show there every weekend. And his name is really? Aiden Sinclair. Yeah, his name's Aiden Sinclair. Huh. And he his show, I've seen his show every year. He brings it to Dragon Con. And I'm always amazed. And it's a new show every year. He changes it up. And it's absolutely amazing. So I highly recommend that.
Nice.
But enough about him. More about you. So getting into this.
Okay. What's up? Yeah. Like, we're just a couple guys having a chat. What's going on?
So you find out that you're like, hey, this is something I can just get into, or?
Yeah, well, there's a town close to mine, Roswell, Georgia, and they had a ghost tour, which not Roswell, Arizona, or New Mexico. Yeah. See how bad of a paranormal investigator am I? Because I just totally got messed up the classic UFO spot. But they had a ghost tour. I went on it. I was able to meet the people who ran the ghost tour, who were putting together a team. I was lucky enough to be selected to be their first draft of a team. And I met so many friends. Whenever I joined the team, we were all like first-time paranormal investigators. The people who owned the tour trained us. About a year and a half goes by. We, the team, have a falling out with the owners and operators of the team and the tour. So we actually all quit and started our own team in 2009. And we are Paranormal Georgia Investigations.
Paranormal. Oh, so you're still with the same team?
Yeah. Yeah, some people have left for personal reasons, the time constrictions, et cetera, but there's there's about four of us who are still like charter members that are still very prominent in the group.
So do people seek you out, or do you like hear things and seek them out, or both?
It could be a little bit of both. We try not to knock on doors because we know what kind of connotations saying that we're paranormal investigators, like I guess have within the culture, especially here in the Atlanta area. I mean, you're in the Bible Belt. There's a lot of deeply religious people here. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but people have a certain mindset about any type of spiritual or otherworldly beings. So it's not something we advertise it, but we don't go knocking on doors and be like, hey, we're your friendly local paranormal investigators. But so we have a website presence, we have a Facebook presence and a Twitter presence, and we do our best to have people contact us. We primarily investigate private residences. Every once in a while we'll do a business. And about once a year we try to do a quote-unquote fun investigation for us. And we'll actually kind of pull some money together and we'll rent a venue, like a well-known potentially haunted location like at Waverly Hills Sanatorium in Louisville, Kentucky. I've been there twice. I have some pretty cool stories about that place. But there's one just on the other side of Chattanooga that we love to go to called Old South Pittsburgh Hospital, which is an abandoned hospital from the 1960s. So we don't really knock on doors. But if we're out and about and we hear maybe a story of a business, like maybe we'll slip a manager one of our cards. So it's every once in a while we'll kind of subtly say, hey, if you're interested in having an investigation, why don't you contact us? But I would say about 95% of our investigations come from email inquiries.
So these investigations, you go in trying to, what's the word, like debunk?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's really kind of what you have to do. There's really two schools whenever you talk about paranormal investigators. There's the people who treat it as a science, and then there are the people who are more on the metaphysical side. And to be honest, like it's such what's the word I'm looking for? I don't know. I don't know really how to explain it. Like, it's not a hard science. Like, it's something that you try to treat as a hard science, but it doesn't act like a hard science.
Right.
So you can only treat it like a science so much. So there are people who believe, yeah, you can track these things in a scientific way, but then the people in the metaphysical side say you can't really do that because you're not dealing with something scientific. You're dealing with something spiritual, and it doesn't play by any kind of rules. So there are a lot of people who kind of bridge the gap. Like, we have a couple of, I guess, sensitives on our team who kind of go in locations and they'll I guess, just feel the location and kind of get their impressions. But we don't take their word as gospel. We go in, we set up a digital video recording system. We have digital voice recorders. We have tons of pieces of equipment that measure the electromagnetic field. And a myriad of other small knickknacks and instruments that aid us in our investigation. So what we do with the sensitives on our team is they go through and they write down their impressions. And the other investigators don't know anything about it until the end of the investigation. And we treat them like a tool. So we don't take their word as gospel, but if they can pick up on something prior to us investigating, and then after our investigation, say we catch a piece of audio evidence of a little girl's voice, and then we go back and say, hey, did you pick up on the presence of a little girl? And he'll look in, you know, our sensitives will look in their notes and say yes, and then we might have something that can substantiate a piece of potential evidence.
So it's like two different investigations, but you're not like setting it up for the other side. It's like two different ways going in, right? Influencing each other.
Right. So what we'll do is whenever we get called out to an investigation is we always have enough investigators to split up into two teams. And when we split up into two teams, we have a control team and a team that actually knows the history of the location and the client's claims of activity. And typically the people who know will go in first, and the people who don't know will go in second. So that way we kind of like have a check and balance for ourselves as well. So that way we're not – one team might ask influencing questions that might invoke some kind of potential evidence, whereas another team, they don't know anything. They're just kind of asking a broad brush of questions, and they might get the same response. And if two teams get the same response or the same voice, then maybe – It's a little bit more substantial evidence.
So, like, it sounds like you're keeping it as close to like the scientific method as possible.
Yeah, we really like have that. To.
Right.
And because, I mean, and the reason I tend to go this way is, I mean, if you say, for example, Josh, you felt you had something going on in your house.
Well, right? Not with ghosts, but you know.
Well, for hypothetically speaking, you thought you had some kind of paranormal activity in your house, right?
Do teenagers count as paranormal activity?
Wait, are they? No. No.
Okay, so I'll go with the hypothetical.
Okay, so hypothetically, say you had some kind of activity. You thought you had activity going on in your house, but you're unsure. So you call a team in, and if I brought you a team that just walked in your living room and looked around and just went, oh, I totally feel a presence of like five ghosts in this left corner. How credible would you think I was or my team was?
I'd say get out.
Exactly. So, you know, there are a lot of teams out there that do that. And again, I'm not trying to discredit them. It's just not how we operate. So if we go into your house and we set up all of this equipment and we go and we ask these questions, these set questions, versus the questions that the other team might have a little bit more knowledge of. And we come back to you with, you know, a couple of potential pieces of evidence, you're probably more liable to believe what we have or take our word for it or what we've given you versus somebody walking into your house and saying you have five ghosts in the corner.
It was Jill, Scott.
Speaking of ghosts, Jake, don't look over your shoulder. I don't, not that shoulder.
The other it's one. A running gag.
So,
what was that? Just something just hit my door, and it wasn't my wife. So, I just had a question. Damn it, Josh, you're rubbing off on me this morning already. So, you probably get the question a lot, like, what's the creepiest thing you've ever found? But I want to start low, Jordan. What's the most boring thing that you've ever found?
perfectly normal house.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. So, and this is probably kind of, you know, I'm just going to go ahead and say it. So I'm also going to compare this to the television shows. Have you guys seen the shows? Like Ghost Hunters, Ghost Adventures.
I watched the first season of Ghost Hunters, but then like after that, they just became characters. But I really liked the first season.
So oh, the first like season the of first Ghost 30 Hunters.
Seconds.
So the first season of Ghost Hunters is an entirely different animal than the rest of the seasons of Ghost Hunters, because they found more things that they debunked in that season than they did for proving some kind of paranormal activity. Not necessarily a haunting, but just some kind of paranormal activity.
Something that can be explained.
Right. However, the show got super popular, and just about every episode after that, they started to find evidence. So when you see a TV, and I'm using this example to answer your question, so I'm straying, but I'm coming back around to it. So when you watch the shows, you're watching something that's been edited. That's, you know, an episode of those shows takes like 3 or 4 days to film, and then they're edited down to 2 30-minute segments to fill an hour. So you're seeing all of the interesting parts of the investigation where things might be rattling, things might be knocking, something fell off the wall. When you go on an investigation, when we go, we try to be at a client's home by 8. And we try to get out by somewhere between midnight and 1 o'clock because it's their home and they don't want us there till like 4 or 5 in the morning, potentially talking to nothing. But when we do go, we're sitting in a room, the lights are off, you have 2 to 3 other investigators, and you're just sitting in a room that's dark, asking questions like, "Can you tell me your name?
Yes.
How what? Who the How old are you?
16.
Whoa.
What year is it for you?
Who cares?
That's ghost.
That's a typical 16-year-old response.
So we like when you ask these questions, it can get really boring, and it kind of gets to the point where the investigators will start to just talk amongst themselves. And you kind of catch up with your friends in the group, like, "Oh, how was your week?" "Oh, my week is fine." And then whenever that happens, you kind of have to reel yourself back in to start paying attention to the investigation. But that doesn't necessarily hurt the investigation, because I find a lot of pieces of evidence, audio evidence through electronic voice phenomena, EVP. Not necessarily. That I find on my digital recorder pop up whenever I'm not asking questions, but my fellow investigators and I are just having casual conversation.
Like, has there been an instance where it was like the, what are we going to call it, entity tries to like break into the conversation? Like,
yeah, as a matter of fact, I have an EVP from Old South Pittsburgh Hospital. And we were on the 3rd floor, and one of our investigators asked what year was the hospital built. And I said, or no, it was another one of the investigators, and he said 1960, and he paused and drew out the sentence he was saying because he couldn't remember the last digit in the year. So he said 1966, and where he had drawn it out, I actually caught an EVP of a disembodied whisper saying 1966, and it wasn't any one of us, because one of the first rules when you're doing an EVP session is that you're not allowed to whisper for potential contamination of your audio.
It's a good rule.
So it does happen. Things like that do happen. And I've actually had I actually did catch an EVP whenever I was explaining casual conversation talking to another investigator on an investigation one time. So it was kind of meta. It was weird.
Wait.
So I was just explaining to you sometimes during casual conversations, we catch potential electronic voice phenomena.
Right.
So I was explaining to somebody we were training on an investigation that could happen. And as I went back and listened to that part of my audio telling my trainee, I actually caught an EVP over me explaining that.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Just jumping in to help you out there.
Yeah, kind of. And it was the voice of a little girl. And it was also caught at Old South Pittsburgh Hospital. So.
You know, that hobby's not for someone with ADD. I can't even fish, dude.
That's a little different, but I guess it's similar.
No, I just sit there with the fucking pole as for like 30 seconds, pull my hand. It's like, yeah, fuck this. This sucks.
Now, I'm going somewhere with this question, but as I ask it, it's going to sound really creepy.
Okay.
But there's a reason. I don't mean creepy like the ghost we're talking about, but I mean creepy like, oh, maybe you shouldn't say that. Creepy like your mask last week, Jordan.
Creepy like Donald Trump?
Kind of. But more like Jordan Rorschach mask.
He has stamina. He has stamina.
And small hands.
So, you just mentioned the little girl voice. How many little girls do you happen upon?
It depends on the investigation.
No, like, Josh, don't laugh. There's a reason I'm asking.
Creepy. I got to admit.
It's not like I'm tripping over little girl ghosts on every investigation.
But no.
Like, oops, another one.
Well, here's the reason I really wanted Tim on this, because for some reason, Tim is like cursed and has ghost stories that happened to him, and one was a little girl.
Well, to be fair, when I lived in Oregon, whenever it'd storm really bad, I'd hear a freaking little girl crying outside.
That was me in your head, Josh.
Wait, hold on. Really?
Yeah, but I figured it was just like late at night, and I was probably just dreaming.
But see, stuff like that. That's where I was going with the question. Like, what's with the little girls?
I mean, it doesn't happen every investigation. It just depends on what kind of activity surrounds the house, and the activity could also be tied to the history of the place. You know, it's that's something we also look at when going in. The homeowner only knows so much about their residence,
especially if it's an older place.
Yeah. Well, not only that, but we're primarily based out of North Georgia, so we can go into Tennessee. We've been all over Atlanta, and we essentially all live where Sherman made his march to Savannah, burning everything down to the ground. So. We kind of where we are kind of is associated with this tragic history. And now I'm not necessarily saying that everything we encounter is from that one tragedy, but we're also smack dab in the middle of the American Civil War. So there was a lot of battles fought probably where my house is built right now. But it also just kind of depends on, it doesn't necessarily have to be a tragedy. It could be, you know, a place could be or have activity or be potentially haunted by somebody who had a strong connection there. No, I was, go for it.
So has there been things that like, no matter how hard you try, you just like the voices showing up on the, what was that thing called?
The digital voice recorder?
Yes. Shut up, Josh. Like, you can't really explain those away, right?
No, and kind of going back to one of the original questions is we go in and we try to debunk everything. If we have claims that are, I hear scratching in the wall, well, guess what? You probably have critters in the wall. I hear growling coming out this vent. Well, it's because you have a dog outside and he's growling next to the vent and it's traveling through to your room. Or, hey, I feel a cold spot right here. It's like, well, your AC's pointed right here. So,
Get out of town.
Yeah. Get out of here.
You have zero insulation above your head.
Yeah. So we try to debunk, we try to debunk and you know, disprove a haunting before we try to prove a haunting.
Right.
Oh, here's one, for example. This was actually a really interesting case. We did a lake house up in North Georgia, and one of the claims was, and it was a summer home too. And the claims were the wife said her husband would consistently sleepwalk and just wake up in random parts of the house. Well, it turned out that the main power for their house ran on the external wall where their headboard was up against. So it had emitting very high electromagnetic field, and that can actually mess with the human brain and the human mind. It could actually make you feel uncomfortable. It can make you feel nauseous. It can give you bad dreams. So we had advised them to move their bed. And when they moved their bed, he stopped sleepwalking.
Wow.
Yeah. So, and like, you think I'm joking, but how many, like, do you guys have an alarm clock right next, like on your nightstand?
No.
No? Do you guys use your phone too?
Yeah.
That's what I do.
Yeah, like normal people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like one of the most common things we would run into is somebody would say that they would always have bad dreams or they would sleep uncomfortable, but they would always have an alarm clock right next to their you know, their pillow on the edge of their nightstand. And we would just advise them to scoot it back like 4 or 5 inches and everything would be back to normal.
Oh my gosh, you must have a PhD.
PhD? No.
I want a PhD. You're amazing, like a doctor.
No, he has ESPN.
Oh, ESP. PhD.
No, I booked a trip to WDW.
Oh, we're not that show.
Wait.
Not this week. No, I do want a PhD eventually, but not in parapsychology or anything.
But like stuff like that, that's stuff I wouldn't even think of, like an alarm clock right there.
Yeah.
So how come phones don't do it? I'm asking you, like, physics now, like energy physics.
I mean, it's probably the same thing. It probably does. You just it's probably immediate. Blah, 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 blah. That's all, folks. All right.
Hi, everybody. Jordan Duncan.
It's that gland in your forehead that makes melatonin. The light stops making melatonin as much as it's supposed to.
All right, Mrs. Wizard. What?
I know.
It probably just emits a lower frequency of electromagnetic field and it probably doesn't affect you as much as the other one would. And also the way it affects people varies from person to person. One person could be highly sensitive to it and another person it could not mess with at all.
Yeah, I'm dead inside. I could sleep through anything.
It's true.
You could have a car battery next to my head, nothing.
We slept through that hurricane like a champ.
It's true.
I've all the slept way through a few country. Hurricanes.
No, I slept through one.
No, Josh was passed out. There's a difference.
I didn't even drink that much back then.
So things have gotten worse. What?
Yeah, well, when you have teenagers.
Nah, that's fair.
So, next question. I don't want to, you know, get too far off this path because I am entranced by this. So here's a big question. Have you ever felt threatened?
No, never once.
Yeah, ghosts really don't carry knives and such, Jake.
Well, I mean, I saw Ghostbusters. I saw The Changeling. I saw 13 Ghosts or whatever.
The Changeling is one of
13
my favorites.
Ghosts of Scooby-Doo?
Yes. Wait, hold on. Jordan, you saw The Changeling?
I love that movie, man. I think it needs to get the old Scream Factory treatment.
Remember when Angelina Jolie came out with a new movie called Changeling?
Yes, and every time I recommend that movie to somebody, they're like, the Angelina Jolie movie? I was like, shut up. No, you don't deserve to watch The Changeling now.
No, the oh gosh, I forgot his name. The guy that played Patton. What's his name?
George C. Scott.
Yes, the one. And the creepy wheelchair. Also,
and bringing it back around, he was also Scrooge in... Christmas Carol.
The second best Christmas Carol.
Which one's your first?
Muppets.
Okay. All right.
It's also the most accurate because it has the narrator.
Yeah.
So.
I saw Muppet Christmas Carol in the theater.
So did I. With Josh. I don't think he remembers, but it was fun.
anyway, so.
What, so never what were
we? So no, I've never felt threatened. Now that doesn't mean to say I don't get a little. I don't want to say. I guess you know.
Heebie-jeebies.
Yeah, like whenever I go and investigate a place I've never been. Like my first time at Old South Pittsburgh Hospital, I was for some reason we had 10 people on that investigation. We split up into two groups of five, and one person would go, or one group would go up to one floor, and another person would go down to another floor. And somehow, within 20 minutes, we would always kind of congregate back together. And we weren't doing it purposefully; like we just subconsciously like didn't want to like not be split up from one another. So I do kind of get these feelings of unfamiliarity on an investigation.
So you're still human.
Yeah.
Weird.
I think. That's
what's
weird.
That like?
I don't know.
Yeah, I'm pretty much dead inside.
Every day. I'm just an empty carcass.
That's why you do this.
So, but yeah. So I don't want to say I don't get scared. Because when you're going someplace you've never been before and all the lights are off, there is a little bit of scariness to it. But I've never been threatened or scared by a potential paranormal event or entity or ghost or what have you.
Oh, apparition. Has anyone said apparition?
No, Tim's not here. That's his word.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's true. So, there's some weird rule we made up for that.
Apparition. I've actually never seen one either.
That was my next question, is like the stuff you've come across, was it all the recorded stuff, or have you ever seen or felt anything?
So I've kind of had a couple feelings. Like I'm not clairvoyant, I'm not a sensitive, so I don't really get those feelings very often, but there have been like one or two occasions where I felt like something has rushed up to me and then has backed off. I've never seen a full-bodied apparition. I have seen a full-bodied shadow block out ambient light. There was a time where an investigator and I were about 5 feet apart from one another, and we had some ambient light from outside coming in, and something passed in between both of us and blocked out the light, so I couldn't see him. I've seen a black mass that I can't explain, but the majority of the evidence that we catch have all been audio clips from our digital voice recorders.
So that time where it passed between you guys, did he see it too?
Yes. And we
more accurately, not seen it.
Well, yeah.
Not seen the light.
right.
Sorry.
But recently, within like the last 2 years, now keep in mind, I've been doing this since 2008. We just within the last 2 years have 3 pieces of video. Ooh. 3 pieces of video evidence. And you can only see some kind of shadow figure on one of them.
And completely unexplained so far.
Yeah. Can't for the life of me figure out what it is because of the way the cameras were set up and where they were pointing, and no outside light to interfere with it. So something that I can't really explain. And the video I'm talking about was in a private residence, and the camera was up against the wall, and they're all IR cameras. So they all have infrared. So you can see, but it's not lit up like the 4th of July, like, you know, with the light in a room. And in the video, you see this black mass come from the bottom right side of the screen and pass to the left. And then a couple seconds later, it actually passes back, but a little bit further. And like it almost like it goes around the coffee table that was in the middle of the room. So
this was in Georgia?
Yeah, it was in North Georgia.
So it was a really big mosquito.
Probably. Yeah. It was a firefly.
No, to these
people. No, its ass wasn't lit up.
Do these homeowners like pay you to come to their houses to figure out what's going on?
No, actually, we do not charge for our services at all.
So strictly because, hobby.
Yeah, it's strictly hobby. We're a volunteer organization. It's kind of like a trade-off. We're interested in doing this and studying it and researching it more. And if you let us come and investigate, we won't charge you, but you're letting us use your home as, you know, a research ground.
And are there actual like results? Like, do those people, homeowners, like feel better?
Yeah, and you know, that's actually a really good question.
Yeah, sure.
Well, thank you. When we get contacted, about half of our contacts actually result. What was that?
It was my dinosaur and its bell.
Okay. About half the inquiries we get result in an investigation. A lot of times people are scared. They don't know what's going on. So they kind of just want somebody to talk to. So when they contact us, either via email or whenever we call them to do a follow-up after the email, we kind of put their mind at ease.
Yeah, they just want some validation that they're not a little as crazy as they feel, maybe. Huh?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so if it does result in an investigation, we go in, we collect all of this raw data, and it takes us about anywhere between 3 to 6 weeks to sift through all of our video and all of our audio. You got to think, if we're there for 4 hours and every investigator, let's say four investigators at least, have one recorder. That's 16 Wait, hours.
Let's let Josh do some math here real quick.
Four.
He's not even listening, so he can't answer. Poor Josh.
So that's 16 hours of audio that we have to listen through, plus if we're running four cameras, that's 16 hours of video we have to run through.
And you're not just casually listening to it. You're like...
Right. No, like, you have to pay attention to it.
Like, and then are you watching the little, like, graph as, like, the audio plays with little spikes in the audio and stuff?
I do have that, the program. But when all that's done and we do or we don't have any potential evidence, we actually follow up with a final report. Who was on the investigation? What was the environment like that night? The weather, the moon phase.
I hope you presented to them like our tax man does. You know, like the book, a cute little booklet, and maybe some pictures, and just maybe a cute little glossary with some a little fake ghosts on the top, a little cartoon.
We actually have a glossary for our terms. Nine times out of 10, it's usually an email with audio clips attached to it. But if they're within driving distance, I don't mind printing something out and personally hand delivering it to them. They usually opt for emails. We kind of give that.
Question.
Yes, Josh. Yeah. You in the back.
Not your voice in my head.
Oh, sorry.
Jordan.
Yeah.
So have you ever had to tell someone, you're fucked, you need to move out of your house?
That was kind of what my question was going to be. Like, when you hand deliver something, you're like at the door, they're like, oh, come in. And you're like, better not.
No, thanks.
Given the circumstances of this investigation.
No, I've never had that experience. I have now. There are a lot of people who are very sane, who just don't understand what's going on, and if we talk to them and then they feel an investigation isn't needed, then fine. Sometimes they call back and we do an investigation, but there are times where we have to do an investigation. And after that, people's nerves are usually calmed. But there's a select few people that just have it dead set in their mind that their house is haunted and there's no other way around it. And if we go in and we find zero evidence and we present zero evidence, they will go and shop around to another team until another team will tell them what they want to hear.
A second opinion?
Yeah. So which at that point you don't want to hear what we have to say. You just want to hear what you want to hear. And we're not going to lie to somebody and tell them that they have activity when they don't.
Well, that's Facebook.
So we've got an aunt that has cats. And anyway, she has cats. And shit keeps falling off her shelves, and she's 100% certain it's ghosts.
No, mind definitely
you, she
cats.
Also has a little bit of hoarding, like a hoarding situation. So
oh, has it gotten worse?
Well, so let me throw this curveball at you.
Don't do
ghost cats.
It's possible. I mean, I'm sure there's dead bodies somewhere amongst her boxes.
Yeah.
Also, she's out of her mind.
So wait, are ghost cats still assholes?
Yeah.
I've actually experienced a ghost cat before.
Wait, is that a thing?
Not even joking.
What about ghost cats?
No, hold on, Josh. Shut up. Nope.
I've experienced there's a place up in Blue Ridge, Georgia that we investigated, and it's being renovated. It's an antebellum home that was the town doctor's home, and it had fallen into disrepair. It changed so many owners, and now it's being renovated into a bed and breakfast. Whenever me and another investigator were up there, we both experienced like the feeling of, you know how a cat kind of does the figure eight between your feet? We both experienced a cat that clearly wasn't there.
Like you felt it.
Like rubbing up against our legs.
And you know what a cat feels like.
Right. I'm a cat owner. She was a cat owner. So we couldn't explain it, and there was nothing there.
Huh. Wow.
Okay, let me try this one on. Ghost catnip. You should have just given it ghost catnip.
Kill the catnip and hope for the best?
I don't know.
Think.
Just tell the cat there's some catnip and throw it over there.
Like, listen, if you can figure out how to harness the soul of catnip.
All right. Make it my mission. I'll get you your full report soon. It's about 6 weeks, Jordan.
12-page font.
Yeah.
10 pages.
Hold on. Cats are soulless bitches anyway, so does catnip need a soul?
So that's
guys, I feel like we're talking about cats.
So that actually kind of goes into another theory. So we were talking earlier about the scientific part of it. So, you know, I grew up in a religious family. I'm not necessarily religious anymore. But I grew up, with the idea of, oh, everybody has a soul, everybody has a spirit. When you die, your spirit either goes to heaven or goes to hell. Well, the scientific part of that is, well, just energy. One of the rules of energy is energy can't just stop. It has to go somewhere. So where does your energy go when you die? It has to dissipate in some form or fashion. So a lot of the theory is that there's a theory going around that your soul or your spirit is just this leftover energy that's somehow dissipating or continuing doing what it's always been doing.
Yeah, I heard that in The Lion King.
So in the future, there's just going to be a whole bunch of ghosts looking at the internet.
Maybe. Just
those are lower energy ghosts, though.
But the irony is that all of these devices are pumping electromagnetic energy, which this energy could probably feed off of. So maybe. But if a person has this energy and can potentially go on, you know, the energy can go on, why can't an animal's?
No, I was just being a jerk to cats. I wasn't.
I kick my cat daily. So big question though. Do you have like a number one creepiest thing that's ever happened to you?
I've had a door open by itself that I personally closed and made sure latched.
Oh, so, yeah.
We actually caught this on video. This was also at Old South Pittsburgh Hospital.
Don't go to that hospital.
No, man, I love it. Like I try to go once a year. I get my fix in.
No, is this a rundown, abandoned building, or is it revamped to something else?
A little bit of column A and a little bit of column B. It's abandoned. It's not an active hospital, but it's also like not anybody can just go in. There are property owners who actually rent out the facility to paranormal investigators.
Yeah.
So they kind of want to help the field of paranormal research. So they rent it out for a very decent price for an entire 24 hours. It's something like $50 a person for 24 hours. And I've been there three times. So we were up on the third floor and there was a claim that there was a child entity up there. And that he all liked to close doors. So we tried to open one door on one side of the hall. And for some reason, it just would not stay open. It's a hospital door. They're really heavy. So I was like, all right, well, I'm tired of it closing. So I'm just going to go ahead and just shut it. So I shut it. And then I
pushed on the door to make sure it was latched, because it was also one of those door handle, like those actual handles that you have to grasp and push down. So I grabbed it, I shut it, and I pushed it to make sure it latched. And then on the other side of the hall, there was a door that did stay open. So we opened that one, and we were trying to get it, whatever was there or potentially there, to close that door. But after a minute of trying to get it to close that door, everybody heard click, and then the door I shut and latched slowly started to open, and it actually, you hear it hit against the wall and bounce off and kind of come back. So,
and so he's all like, "Now this is my door."
Right. So, and this was also probably like 8:30 in the morning. So the way the camera, and we have this caught on video, and I can send you guys links to this video.
Yes, please.
So the camera is facing down the hallway. So you hear the click, and you hear everybody go, "That door just opened," especially me, because I say it like three times. And you actually see the sunlight from the windows in the room start to spill out into the hallway. And as the door slowly opens, more sunlight is spilling into the hallway. So that's how you see that the door is opening after hearing the click.
We can't watch that, Josh. We might get my nightmares.
Well,
so I actually did my due diligence to make sure that the door wasn't rigged. And I actually went in and fiddled around with the door, the latch, and the little socket on the wall or on the rim of the door or the frame of the door. And there was no funny business going on. So that's something I just can't explain. And that's – it didn't creep me out, but it was one of those things that after years of investigating, when I finally saw it, like I was kind of in awe.
Like you were surprised.
Yeah, like I was incredibly happy. Like we all cheer after because we've been investigating for so long. And that was our first piece of video evidence that we caught after years of investigating together.
Scared the kid away.
Yeah.
No, he's probably like, "This is why I keep doing it."
Yeah, no, like that kind of like refuels the batteries for us. I've been tapped on the shoulder by something that wasn't there. My shirt has been tugged by something that wasn't there. My pants have been tugged by something that wasn't there. We've had like small rocks tossed at us from down a hallway. On top of the number of EVP that we've caught on investigation. So I don't really have like one thing that has absolutely scared me. That was the original question, right? I can't remember. I feel like. So I haven't had anything that really scared me. What's up?
So I spent probably about a full month in a supposed haunted hotel in Pioche, Nevada.
Oh.
It's called the Overland Hotel. I mean, this is like straight out of The Shining, right? I mean, long dark hallways with creepy cabinets at the end and shit like that.
Old silver mining town?
Yeah, that's what it was. Is currently a silver mining town. But
you
anyways. You
would have gotten away with it too if it weren't for those kids and that dog.
Right? But so seriously, like, the creepiest fucking thing in this hotel. Have you ever been to like Bass Pro Shop or Cabela's?
Yeah.
Yeah. And seen in the kids section, they have the plushy animal heads that you hang on the fucking wall.
Yes. Like trophy heads, but plush
animals. Yes. Yeah, they're trophy heads, but they're plush animals. Every single fucking room had these heads. And see, because I was on a firefighting crew, you know, taking care of the helicopter, but on a firefighting crew, we never had the same room every night. And supposedly, like, room 10 was haunted or something like that. The haunting never bothered me. It was the damn plush animal heads.
So is that where this is going?
We investigated a house in Roswell, Georgia that had an extensive doll collection.
No.
Yeah, some of our investigators were not happy. They didn't bother me. But some of the investigators on our crew were like, "I'm not going in that room at all."
You might want to add that to your list when you have like an inquiry. You know, like, "Oh, do you live by power lines? Oh, do you have dolls?"
Yeah.
So, going back to my thing real quick, though. So I was working a 12-2 schedule, 12 days on, 2 days off. Mm-hmm. And so it was POH, Nevada's somewhat close to Las Vegas. I was going to go to Fry's Electronics in Las Vegas and get a little solar, you know, a little solar charger thing, mm-hmm. and a battery and a photo switch, right? And then two red LEDs. And I was going to take one of those goddamn animal heads apart and put all this shit in it. And so when people turn off the light, the eyes would glow red.
That would not be helpful to the investigation, Josh.
Yeah.
No, but freak someone else out. The only reason I didn't is because I would not see the fruits of my labor.
But knowing in the back of your head that you scared the shit out of someone makes it all worth it.
You know what? I'm buying those for all my kids' rooms now.
All right. What you have to do is just no animal heads. Just do it in the wall. Just make it subtle.
All right. Easy there, Satan. So, I have one more question, and then we can dabble.
What's up?
Have you ever dabbled? Because you said the paranormal is like just a big blanket statement.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, I do not want to talk about goddamn Bigfoot.
It scares
you. You brought it up, not me, Josh. But no, I was just going to ask if Jordan's dabbled in any of the other areas.
I haven't. Outside of like reading a couple, of articles on a topic here and there, for one of my anthropology courses in college, I actually wrote a paper on Bigfoot and how it relates to the Gigantopithecus theory. So that's the most I've dabbled. There are some of our investigators that that do live a little bit further north in Georgia, in North Georgia, by the North Georgia woods, and they do go on like weekend camping trips, squatching. So,
if you go further south, it's skunky.
But yeah.
I have definitely decided that Bigfoot is a bear.
Yeah?
Big, stinky fucking bear.
With human feet, Josh?
They do have big feet.
They're bare feet.
Bipedal bears?
Have you not Google bipedal bear?
That run?
And jump over trees. And...
There was an incident when we were little.
Listen, I saw a bipedal bear on a unicycle.
No, you were little.
I still remember it.
Yeah, well, you know what? You fuckers locked me outside with a bear.
What? With human feet. Very large human feet.
Well, you know.
Humanoid.
He was wearing boots.
This is a nice, a fresh pair of Doc Martens, is what he.
Well, for like 2 or 3 years, we lived in the woods of Northern California.
In the wood, it says is.
The one night, there was an incident that freaked Josh out, and.
Oh, I almost pissed myself because there was something out there way larger than I am.
And the next day, we were able to go follow its tracks. And it was exciting.
Yeah.
No. Nope.
But I'm convinced it was a bear now.
With humanoid feet. I'm Camp Bigfoot. I'm sorry. That thing. I remember the smell. The dog smell.
But you know what? I've ran into bears before, and they smell exactly the same.
No, it's funny you say that, because there's like historical accounts of – and I mean, obviously, you know, it's an account. It's nothing that can be – hard proven with historical documentation, but all the way back to Pliny the Elder, whenever he was writing about Bigfoot-like creatures and Yeti type creatures.
But here's the thing, though. Every culture in the world, even Australia, has Bigfoot type creatures in their mythology, but
right.
There's no evidence of it.
So Gigantopithecus did exist, and we have fossils for it. So,
but it doesn't exist now,
right? Right, and I'm not saying that modern, what, you know, if Bigfoot and Yeti, etc., do exist, that they're Gigantopithecus. But there is a theory going out that it could be this, some form of missing link in the human evolution scale from apes to anatomically modern or modern anatomically correct human beings. And there's also a theory that Gigantopithecus, you know, a small sect of them could exist, but at the same time, with how small the world has gotten, thanks to people always filming stuff, satellites, the internet, you know, we're not seeing as much evidence as we thought we would be seeing. So I can't make the case for it, and I can't really make the case against it. But I got it a B on that paper, an A on that paper. I can't remember, but it's funny because I told my professor, I was like, listen, it was my human origins course. And I said, listen, I want to write about Gigantopithecus, but I think it's just going to be like 8 pages of Bigfoot. She was like, no, that's fine.
I just like to say Gigantopithecus.
So I was like, okay. So I wrote on the history of the fossils and the mythology of Bigfoot and Yeti. So
I know this isn't our Disney show, but were you excited when they made King Louie a Gigantopithecus?
I was absolutely ecstatic that they made him that was one of my favorite parts of the live action film.
I just imagine you jumping right out of your seat in the theater, right out, and your popcorn just flying all over.
Well, I didn't catch it in the theater, but I did that in my living room, if that makes you feel any better.
Yep.
I like that the filmmaker's reason behind it was like, well, there's no orangutans in India, but there may have been Gigantopithecus.
The filmmakers, Jon Favreau.
So
also directing Lion King.
I'm into it.
You can't call that live action though, but oh, hold on, I had another question. So do you have a local cryptid?
I don't believe so. If we do, I'm unaware. I just think there a lot of people just go Bigfoot hunting.
Even in Central Florida, Bigfoot was called the Swamp Howler.
Swamp Howler, again, I know, was it Skunk Ape also?
Yeah, Skunk Ape. That's another one.
Yeah, Ape Shit, too.
Yep.
No, that's when you make him mad.
Oh.
Yeah, in Utah, we have the Bear Lake Monster.
Oh, yeah, that. Ran into that once, too. Wasn't pretty.
Wait, what?
Was it just another bear?
No, it was a big fish.
Did you find it in Aunt Crystal's house?
No, I was when we actually owned a boat. It was Mom and Heidi and Joni and and myself.
Okay, you're the most reasonable person there.
Big mistake. Going out in Bear Lake on the boat, and then it got all choppy, and then like. It looked like a big fish just came out in front of us, and then they got all freaked out and went back to shore.
Now, how big of a fish?
I don't know. I was little. It could have been a goddamn catfish. It was Bear Lake. Catfish get pretty fucking big.
Yeah, they do. They get. Whenever I was living in Louisiana, there was a news story about a man who was fishing in the Mississippi, and he caught a 150-pound catfish. And when they cut him open, there was a 50-pound catfish on the inside of him. So he was a 100-pound catfish that ate a 50-pound catfish.
So wait, where did they catch this?
So that's like a freaking one hell of a catfish cookout.
Yeah. I was going to say, get it. The bitch stole my line. That's a hell of a catfish fry.
Wait, go back to Louisiana.
Now? Why?
Because...
That's a long drive.
Have you investigated Marie Laveau's tomb yet?
No, I haven't. But it's her tomb is actually in a cemetery that's closed off after hours, and it's also heavily patrolled.
Because people keep vandalizing her damn tomb.
Yeah, there's actually – have you guys ever been to the French Quarter?
No, I've only gone across I-10. I've never been down to New Orleans or anything.
There's in the quarter, there are two, I guess, Marie Laveau shops. They're kind of like sister stores of each other that have like altars that you can, you know, give a present or a gift and pay your respects to Marie Laveau. But they're
like, what kind of present? Like little trinkets?
Yeah, like anything, like a penny, a quarter, a guitar pick, a dollar, whatever.
Yeah, they prefer 20s.
Yeah. Hundos if you're generous. but her she's actually, there's actually a story about her ghost is said to haunt the cemetery in which she is buried, which is actually kind of funny because there aren't actually a lot of haunted graveyard stories out there as you'd think. Like everyone always associates, you know, hunting for the dead in a graveyard, but that's where you go after you die. Like if you were to die and potentially haunt someplace, you would go where you had an emotional attachment.
Yeah, not a lot of people die in the graveyard.
So
that reminds me, both St. Augustine and Key West, we used to, like when I was in the Coast Guard, you go to Key West once in a while to stay for a week to take care of the helicopter we had down there, right? West once.
Yeah.
Anyways, in the evening, we'd, me and my buddy would go follow the ghost tour around, not pay, just follow the ghost tour. And so in St. Augustine, you know, in St. Augustine, my wife and my older two kids, because the little two weren't born yet, we'd go do the same thing, like constantly just go follow the ghost tour around.
So I was in Key West briefly for a handful of hours, and I wanted to go do the ghost tour and go do the they have like one of those Ripley's Believe It or Nots down there, and they also and it's also home to a famous ghost story called that involves a doll named Robert. I don't know if you're familiar with that, but I would Google Robert the Doll and read that story. It's actually it's quite interesting. We were on a cruise, and one of our first stops was Key West, and we had to be back on the boat before any of the cool stuff opened up, but I really wanted to go and check that stuff out. And I want to go back to Key West just for that reason.
Yeah,
Key West. Robert the Doll is creepy.
Yeah.
Key West is a fun town. So another little thing about Key West.
Nope.
I could be wrong. So we stayed at the Naval Barracks on the Naval Air Station Key West.
Mm-hmm.
The annex, not the air station itself, but the annex. So the annex is close to, like, downtown and all that shit, right?
Right.
So the last day I was there, the last time I was allowed on that base, we're driving out, and there's always this little, like, headstone-type thing right there. I've never thought anything about it. But we're driving out, and I decide, well, you know what? I'm going to read it as they're driving out. And I shit you not, it said, "Here lies the bones of Blackbeard." Now, I know he was killed and beheaded in North Carolina, and they separated his head from his body because they were afraid that they'd reattach because he's a demon.
And he swam around the boat sometimes.
Yeah. So I've never been able to find confirmation if I read it right or what the hell it was, but that's what I remember.
Wait, where was it? Key West?
Yeah, the Naval Air Station Annex in Key West.
Because the dude ran Nassau, and that was just around the corner from Key West.
Yeah, wasn't too far. That I don't know. I'm actually not as boned up on my pirate history and lore as I probably should be. I know a little bit just because I've been to Savannah so often.
Yeah.
I should probably look into that. I don't know. I don't know.
I have a final investigator question.
That's a pretty cool story, though. Like,
yeah, I mean, I will admit I could read it wrong. I could be remembering it wrong.
Memory is something like that.
That's how I do remember it, so don't question my memory.
Fair enough. Jake.
All right, I just thought of this. So is there, like, a dream investigation you want to do? Like,
oh, man, there are a couple. I want to do the Stanley Hotel.
Well, come on out. We'll have beers.
If you want to pay for my plane ticket, I will be there.
Stay there.
Wow.
I want to do the Myrtle Plantation in Louisiana. So it's kind of ironic that I grew up in South Louisiana, and I never once heard anything about the Myrtle Plantation. Now, in fairness, I wasn't really researching potential hauntings.
Wait, at the time. Myrtle Plantation, is that the one with the tree kind of archway that was in The Patriot?
No, I know which one you're talking about, and it's a different one.
Okay.
Now that you say that, I can't remember the name of, because it's a very popular plantation.
Which The Patriot was in the Carolinas as well, which is weird.
Right. I haven't done anything in Charleston. I would like to go do some investigations in Charleston. I would actually like to do the Myrtle Plantation in Louisiana. I'd like to do Rolling Hills Asylum. That's kind of on my list. And I think that's about it. The Queen Mary would be really interesting, but
a gimmick more, man.
It is, but it's really interesting from this perspective. So the Queen Mary is there's this hard line division of people who believe it's haunted and people who think it isn't. Much like Josh. So hold on.
Well, I've been on the Queen Mary before. You know, just the tour though, but I was like eight.
So, and this kind of opens up into a complete different theory whenever we study the paranormal. So, one of the most popular stories from the Queen Mary is that there's this ghost of a little girl who haunts... Right. There's a ghost of a little girl who supposedly haunts the pool area, the recreation area. But there's no documentation of a little girl ever having a tragedy on the place, ever dying on the Queen Mary. Now, there have been people who were killed on the Queen Mary. We do have documentation of that, but never a little girl. So now we kind of enter this different theory of, is the Queen Mary actually haunted and we're experiencing things, a supernatural or some kind of paranormal event, or people experiencing the paranormal because they themselves are influencing the power of thought forms.
Okay, so
the haunting themselves, which opens up a bigger picture to, are all places haunted, or are all places haunted because we want them to be haunted?
Well, and there's a third question there. Are ghosts bound by some sort of fucking rules?
Exactly. So now you have physics coming in, and I am not I mean, science to an extent.
I want to be a highwayman.
Mm-hmm.
What?
Highwayman.
Like the creepy ghost that stands on the highway hitchhiking?
No, like the Johnny Cash, Willie Nelson, Burl Ives song. Burl Ives wasn't in there. It just sounded.
I was about to say, I don't remember Burl Ives.
Hey, you lost me on that one.
It was Johnny, Willie, Waylon, and Kris Kristofferson.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, the guy from Fallout New Vegas. Got it.
Yeah.
And that's how I will remember him.
So no, there are tons of places that I would like to go and investigate. Unfortunately, due to length of travel and monetary funds.
A little bit of show crossover, but what about Disneyland?
So I would like to, only because the sheer amount of people who go through that park on a daily basis, not to mention the electronic controls that power every attraction there. Like, the EMF has to be high, coupled with all of the energy from everybody going through that park. Like, I would love to get in there and investigate, but Disney would never let that happen.
There's been some horrific documented deaths there.
Mm-hmm.
Well, like the time when, you know, the cleat from the dock hit the guy in the face.
Or when the girl got cut in half on Carousel of Progress.
Or when the train hit the guy in the face.
And then you couldn't buy a coffee mug?
Because the monorail hit the guy in the face.
That was Disney World.
With a coffee mug? but no, I mean, I've read so many stories between the two East Coast and West Coast parks of, like, you know, potential things going on there. I think one of the most common ones is like the light on Walt's apartment in Disneyland.
It turns itself on.
Yeah.
But
there's also a rumor that Walt himself haunts the Disney gallery above Pirates of the Caribbean.
Well, that's because his frozen head's underneath the castle.
Yeah. So he's lingering around.
Yeah, I mean, ask Walt's frozen head. He'll confirm it.
Yeah.
Does he still listen to us? It was really weird that Walt's frozen head listened to our podcast.
I don't know. I have to ask him. It's a weird thing to say, but yeah.
But, you know, I would love to investigate one of the parks, but I doubt that would ever happen.
Are there story? Like, I've never really heard of a haunting story coming out of Disney World. I was in Disneyland.
Well, that's where the Carousel of Progress killed the chick.
No, it was in Disneyland. I think it was actually America Sings.
Oh.
I mean, same theater, but.
Oh, well, yeah.
And now she haunts Space Mountain next door.
Isn't
weird.
Isn't the Pirates of the Caribbean ghost a Walt Disney World?
I haven't heard of the Pirates of the Caribbean.
Well, I know there's a skull in Pirates at Disneyland, like a human skull.
Well, I read this urban legend about how there was a guy working on the attraction, and he died working on the attraction, and he kind of, like, I guess he's supposedly, his spirit's still hanging around. And
no. That was Alien Encounter.
No. All right. That wrong attraction. Sorry. All right, everything's explained. It's fine. So I read that, but that's again, I have no validity on whether or not that's a thing that actually happens.
So. I haven't heard that, but I'm not going to say you're wrong. I just haven't heard that, but I'm going to look into it now.
You know, with all the ghost towns out west, man, you guys should come out here sometime.
I got one right on the street, literally.
When I win the lottery, I'll pay for your trip.
Yeah. Road trip.
But I gotta win the lottery. So, you know, like, cross your fingers really hard. Not that hard. That's weird.
I'm almost crossing my fingers.
Well, when you win, let us know.
Shit. We have a viewer. I wonder who it is.
It's Annie.
Hi, Annie. Or Shillelagh.
Yeah,
we didn't tweet the link out because I was all caught up in everything Jordan was saying. So any final thoughts, Josh, Jordan? I think this is as good a time as any to wrap up the episode.
Most of my thoughts, I hope, are final thoughts.
Very grim.
Jordan will be investigating your house in the near future, sounds like.
All right, well. This took a dark left turn, guys.
Yeah, just now.
So I don't even know. I don't even know.
So what's the name of your website? Like, what's the URL?
It's ParanormalGeorgiaInvestigations.com or ParanormalGeorgia.com, one of the two. I just have it saved on a quick link, so I never really read.
Are there samples on there, like...
Yeah, so it's paranormal. Hold on, let's see. I'm pulling it. It's at paranormalgeorgia.com, and you can read all about what we do, our process, you know, our protocol. There's an evidence page where you can listen to EVPs that we've caught on investigations. You can see some video clips as well as some video clips that for some press that we've done around Atlanta as well. So, and we also have a Facebook page, Paranormal Georgia Investigations, and we also have a Twitter page, which is Paranormal_GA.
Got it. I'm going to follow all of these.
Yeah.
So, hey, thanks for coming on and talking about it.
Oh, thanks for having me on, guys. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, you haven't been on for a while, so I figured, you know.
It's been long. Actually, this is my first disaster hour.
Oh, hey, how was it? Very low on laughs, but...
It was actually relatively tame, considering all things considered.
Yeah, I was wildly interested in everything you were saying.
I was intrigued.
I feel like I bored everybody. Like, oh, that Jordan guy is just going off on a tangent again.
No, it might be our even like our most structured episode.
Hold on, our whole show is a tangent.
Yeah, we haven't even wrapped up episode one yet. It'll just come around at the end. We're finally done. Just kidding, that's not gonna happen. Sorry, Josh.
Oh damn.
So final thoughts on the paranormal, guys. What do you guys think? Just let's just solve it all right now, right here.
Science.
All right, I'm into it.
No offense, I'm not bagging on you or anything. I've not experienced any of that, but I just think it can all be explained somehow.
No, I don't disagree with you. I say all of this stuff like not as a believer, but as somebody who's interested in finding out what it is.
No, you know, totally. I would actually like to do that. I would. I'm just a pussy.
So
I'm afraid of the dark.
It could not be potential ghosts or entities. It could be something completely fine, and I'm okay with it not being that. Just as long as there was a way to scientifically prove one way or the other.
And we just might not have that method yet.
Yeah, and I mean, so
you
I
know,
don't.
I mean, all I'm saying is like the voices could be something as simple as playing a record backwards type thing. You know what I mean?
Wait, no, you're right. You're right. And there's. It gets pretty deep on when you're trying to like discern EVPs too. And like some stuff I think is like completely out. Like I've heard some investigators say, I caught this voice and it didn't sound like anything, but when I played it backwards, I'm like, I highly doubt that there's a ghost trying to play a joke on you, talking back to your recorder. Like, but some people swear up and down, and there's some things like that I can't necessarily get behind. So it's thinking critically about the data that you're given, but it's also, if there are ghosts or entities or spirits, it doesn't hurt to have an open mind towards it, even though you might find evidence that completely disproves it.
Oh, totally. And I'm not trying to discount you or anything. I'm just throwing out my point of view, I guess.
No. That's absolutely completely valid. We have people on our team that are like that. So it's a mix.
And that's
of,
good, and that keeps it real. That's how science works. It doesn't work on audio podcast.
Nope. I would be the worst person on your team because I'd just be like, holy shit, a ghost.
So Jake's Shaggy. So who are you, Jordan?
Like Zoinks, man.
Whoa!
So Jordan's Shaggy as well.
I mean, you know, don't take offense to this, but Jordan would have to be Velma.
I would be Daphne. I'd keep getting caught.
Yeah, no, in all fairness, Jordan, Velma's the smartest, hippest, coolest one on the team. So
I would
and make, also the sexiest.
It's true.
I would make a sexy bearded Velma.
Yeah. An orange turtleneck and a red miniskirt. Good to go.
Well, I know what I'm going to be for next year's Halloween.
Sexy bearded Velma?
Yeah.
Jinkies.
Jake already said I can't be Ariel because I don't have red hair, though, so that won't work either.
Well, that's one box of hair dye.
I know that's a hair stylist.
That's a $7 solution.
I'm not dyeing my beard red. No.
I didn't say dye your beard. You dye your beard.
Well, what are we dyeing?
It's my merman beard.
So, next year for Halloween, I want to be Ariel. I'm going to sit in the wagon and have my kids drag me around the neighborhood. Merman suit.
Just going to... They're going to pull you in a wagon as you sing Part of Your World.
It'd be better if you were singing that song, but like as the merman from Cabin in the Woods.
I haven't seen that.
Jordan, dude, did you like Cabin in the Woods?
That's a good movie. You should check it out.
It's a fantastic movie.
Yeah.
Because I'm not really into horror movies because they bore me. And this is like a horror movie for people who aren't into horror movies.
No, it's good. I like it.
Yeah, that's some solid stuff. Josh, go watch Cabin in the Woods. Jordan, thanks for coming on the show. We went an hour and a half. That's how intriguing you were.
Wow, well, really? Let's put air quotes around intriguing.
No, I have it rubber stamped on the contract. Intriguing. It's a weird ordering that rubber stamp.
You guys get these documents that I don't see or sign.
Yeah, Giuseppe fills them out, and we, you know, we do what we do, and that's all.
Yeah, we also have a large chloroform budget.
And now you know where Matt and Tim are.
I don't remember that large chloroform budget. That's weird.
Good. Again, thanks for showing up, Jordan, and you know,
thanks for having me.
Listen, check out Jordan's other podcast. Yeah, I called it the other podcast. Yeah. It's all in my head.
It's all in my head podcast. It's all in my head.org is the other podcast I do. That's the one. That's the pop culture fun one I do with my friends.
Well, so. What about the other one?
The other one, Commentary Men. I'm not on that one as consistent because that's our buddy Ryan's podcast, but I make an appearance every once in a while.
I'm going to be honest. I haven't dived into that one yet because it's because you have to watch it with the movie or listen to it with the movie, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I listen to podcasts at work, and they would get really angry at me if I was watching movies and listening to podcasts at the same time.
Fair enough.
So. But I plan on one day checking it out. It's definitely on my list.
No worries.
I'll tell Ryan I'm sorry.
I mean, you don't have to apologize to me.
Pat him on the butt for me. What?
Well, he's currently on his honeymoon. He actually just got married last Friday. So
him. Yeah.
Oh, condolences.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what we said. No. he and his wife are enjoying their honeymoon right now. So congratulations, Ryan and Taylor.
Yay! And on that note, I feel like that's a happy note. I'm going to push the stop button because we don't have an official ending on the Disaster Hour.
All right.
Yeah, yeah, oh yeah, what condition my condition was in.
I woke up this morning with the sundown shining in. I found my mind in a brown paper bag, but then I tripped on a cloud and fell 8 miles high. I tore my mind on a jagged sky. I just dropped in to see what condition my condition was in.
Yeah, yeah, oh yeah, what condition my condition was in.